am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. All right, thank you, ladies. We appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 16. I've got two more Sundays, I think, here until, counting this one, until October gets here again. And so October comes, we're going to be setting aside all of our series and all of our studies, and we're going to spend the whole month looking at the second coming of the Lord. And boy, again, in this day and age, that message gets more and more exciting as we look at the possibilities here of every nation of the earth turning against Israel. And we're seeing, boy, things are unfolding pretty fast right here in our own country again, to see again that there's signs in the newspaper that our Lord is soon returning. There's no time to delay. So be a missionary every day, praise the Lord, all right. So let's look at the Bible. Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to try and bring this series to close here in these next 2 weeks, and I won't do a good job of it, but we like leaving things kind of open-ended again, because there's a lot more to be studied in the life of Abraham here, and we've only kind of hit some of the high points. We're looking at the first man in your Bible that's called the friend of God, with this realization and this goal that you and I are to be that. God expects that we would be His friend. We find that from Jesus and His command to His disciples. He said, from now on, I'm not going to call you servants. You know, Baptists for a long time are make real good servants. You know, serve. And once you're saved, God expects you to serve. But really, God expects you to be His friend. And that's the important part. Sometimes we get so busy serving that we miss the fact that God wants us to be His friend. As God came down in the cool of the day and fellowshipped with Adam and Eve in the garden, you and I, by God's grace, by the salvation of His Son, by His blood cleansing us from all unrighteousness, by His being righteousness for us, we have now the ability to do the exact same thing that Adam and Eve did in that perfect state of innocence in the Garden of Eden. You and I have the ability to fellowship with God. If we look at Abraham, if we look at Noah, let's look at Noah again. Maybe that's more fitting to look at Noah a little bit. to understand that here he was when all the world had turned against God, and yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You and I are in a position to expound upon God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I listened to them girls from Ireland, I don't know where they are over there someplace, who sing.
The Celtic girls
sing, and they sang Amazing Grace. And it was a beautiful, beautiful rendition of the melody, but they didn't know what the words meant. You could kind of tell by listening to them that they didn't quite understand, again, what they were singing there. You and I might not sing so divinely nor beautifully, but praise the Lord, we know what we're singing about, all right? It's God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me and caused, again, that we, just as much as Abraham, can be, and listen, are expected to be a friend of God. And so as we're looking here at this lesson, now in chapter 16 of our Bible, understand that there were some things that drew Abrams away from his position of being a friend of God. There were some snares, there were some problems, there were some failures in Abram, and we're going to look at one of them here today, but yet God is faithful. I don't know about you, but there's failures in my life walking in God's grace. There's times when I should have done things. There's attitudes that I should have had, again, in situations, and I did not have them. There's directions that I've been given, and I did not follow them. And so we're, again, as we're progressing along a road to become a friend of God, notice that it's very parallel to what Abraham goes here and what God documented for us in the book of Genesis about Abraham's journey in faith. Let's look then at Genesis chapter 16, and we'll pick up our account in that chapter. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 16. I just want to pick the theme. I trust this is very familiar to all of us. And so we're going to pick out this theme here and look at it in a little bit more detail of just how it applies again to our walk, even in this day and age. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 16, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife." Father, praise you again. Thank you. I thank you for your word, and thank you again, Father, for how you've preserved it for all these thousands of years so that we could sit and look at it today and ponder your heart and your dealings with man and learn some lessons again about you that would cause that we'd have a friendship, a kinship with you that go beyond, again, just being servants. We'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for touching these scriptures and causing, again, that we draw a lesson from these that would make even our walk this week with you sweeter and more precious. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. We pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated as we look again at this, I trust, a familiar theme. We want to look at a failure, and particularly we want to look at three ingredients here that brought about this failure. Ingredients, again, that you and I are tempted with or bump into on a regular basis. And I want to, again, just enunciate those a little bit in case you haven't ever drawn them out of these three verses that we read. Look at verse 2 again. "And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Sarah's first problem here is that she was unable to understand God. She was unable to understand exactly what God was doing. And in being unable to do that, and being impatient to wait for that, now I use that word impatient relatively, how long had they waited again?
All their life.
No. Let me read verse 3 again. The 10 years, okay? So here it was, 10 years they came into the land. They were told that they were going to have seed, they were going to have children, and they were going to bless the whole world with their population. And they waited 10 years. And so when we talk about Sarah's impatience, I want you to notice again that 10 years in my book isn't impatience again. And so when we look here, understand that some of these things are relative, and sometimes we just read them and skim over them without recognizing that, no, 10 years is a pretty long time. How many Christians have you known that's been serving the Lord for 10 years? Don't answer that out loud. How many of you know that didn't make it for 10 years? Boy, when I was bouncing around the military, whenever I happened to bump into a Christian we were stationed with before, and they're still serving the Lord, I got plain excited again that, wow, there are other people out there that have some stick-to-itiveness. We just celebrated our, 22nd anniversary here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and still have founding members here. Praise the Lord. It is good, again, to have just a stalwart say, I'm going to stick to it no matter what. And so notice again that that's a rare thing. And here, Sarah had been waiting for 10 years, but now she's come to a point where she said, this doesn't seem to be working. I know God made some promises, but it seems to be, secondly, my fault. This isn't working out, and it seems to be because of me. God has restrained from me that I would have a child, and God has withheld that from me. Therefore, maybe, again, we didn't completely understand God's promise right. And here's what we're going to do. Boy, be careful of that. Number one point was that Sarai said, I don't understand what God's doing here. And so let's do something else. Okay? And you and I can do that. In fact, I've done that on several occasions. I've been in a place where I didn't know what God's will was for my life. When we were in the military, it was pretty easy because when we prayed, we said, God, what do you want us to do next? And sure enough, a set of orders came down and it had where we were going and what we were going to be doing. And so we just followed the military orders. And well, there's been several miracles that we've seen. And even in asking that God works miracles in where we ended up and what we were doing. I remember the first time I came up for reenlistment, me and Jimmy Hall and I forgot who else had a partnership. It's just Jimmy and I. To buy a dairy farm down in Addison, and I was going to go back to milking cows. That's what we'd done, and I was just going to go back and milk cows again after 4 years in the military. My time was up, and so we had everything in place and the contract, and finally, that just wasn't settling well with our prayer life, and so I said, okay, God, here's what we'll do. I'll go ahead and turn in my reenlistment papers. And so I turned in my reenlistment papers, and they said down to the office, said, it's too late. You missed the deadline. You can't reenlist. And I said, just submit the papers. And so they submitted the papers 30 days late. They said, it'll never happen. And within 30 days, we had a set of orders again. I said, we'll take you. And so that was a miracle of God. And it kept me out of being a dairy farmer down here in Addison, New York. I've had mixed emotions about that ever since. But following God's will was easy for us in that regard because God, again, just gave the leading. And so if you don't know what God's doing, if you don't know what God's leading is, don't make something up. It's a point here again. Sarah, they didn't know what was wrong. They didn't know what was happening. But there was nothing happening. And so Sarai says, and here's problem number two. Listen, let's go. And notice again that the emphasis here, somehow you got to get to catch this, is on the Egyptian woman. The Egyptian. How many times is that mentioned? Like three times. And so notice again that Egypt is a picture always in your Bible. Egypt is a picture of going to the world. And so here's Sarai, and she says, and she's doing another thing that women do and men don't, okay? And that's scheming and figuring out and plotting and saying, okay, here's a solution to this. And again, working around behind the scenes and said, we can find a solution. And we can find the compromise and we can fix it. And we can pursue God's plan on our own. And she goes to the world. She goes to Egypt, as it were, and has an Egyptian handmaid that she gives to Abram. And so notice again the striking example there. Let me just again draw this to our own. We could again go to the world and find out how to build a church. All the mega churches have done that. And they figured out that you need to give the people what they want, and therefore then they will come. If you build it. Oh, sorry, that was another illustration. Give the people what they want and they'll come and worship at your church. Give them entertainment. Give them a rock band. Give them some means again so that it'd be very entertaining for them to come. And you can build a mega church. And boy, the world has gone after Hagar, the Egyptian maid, again said, we can find a way again to do what God ain't doing. And let me back up and say, God ain't doing, okay? I've been here for 20 years coming up this spring, Yates County for 20 years, coming up February again, and God ain't doing. It's been a normal in Baptist circles that if you're there for 3 years and don't have 300 people, then move on. God isn't there. I've been here for 20 years and don't have 300 people, all right? And I don't know, we might never get there in a county again that's just filled with apostasy and agnosticism and atheism again, that just reeks again. And ours isn't an unusual county again. That's pretty prevalent again all across the globe. I was talking to one fellow, George, down in Dundee. I don't know if some of you had met him. He came here to church once.
Yeah. George.
George Durham, was that his last name?
He's not in Dundee anymore, I don't think.
He came by anyway, and he saw the door open and came in, and we had a prayer meeting at the altar and had a good time anyway. But we got talking about the world, and he said he goes out to Ohio, and he can preach out in Ohio. And it's amazing, again, that here we are in upstate New York, one of the most liberal, again, places in the world, again. There is an agnosticism that's deep up here again, and people just don't care. We've been here, been laboring, been a lighthouse again for 20 years. Again, notice again that, hey, sometimes God isn't doing what He promised to do. What are we supposed to do? Just be faithful.
Amen.
And so notice here that Sarai said, this is wearing thin on me. I think it's my fault. I think there's some problem here, and perhaps I'm the problem. Let me get out of the way and go ahead and we'll find another way. We'll find another means of accomplishing God's promise that He made. And boy, again, you be careful of finding another means of fulfilling God's promise. Whether it be in Yates County, whether it be soul winning or door knocking, or there's not another means that God has for building His church. And listen, maybe it's in your own life for finding God's will in your life and say, hey, I can find another means of doing this. I can find another means of going about and achieving God's will. Boy, again, if it's another means, be careful of it. Be weary. Wary of it. And again, understand that don't be weary. Be wary, okay? We're not to be weary in well-doing, but we're to be wary again. What's the Bible says? Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That's where we're to be again. And so notice here that Sarai said, hey, I've got a solution. Here's the solution that we'll have. Notice it was wrong. It was all wrong. You know the results of this and everything that goes on afterwards. And it was not God's will nor God's purposes. But Sarai again said, hey, let me step out of the way and we'll come up with a solution that'll let God do His promises. And we'll do it with the world's way. Boy, again, we'll not take that step. We'll not take that compromise. If God isn't doing anything in Yates County, then God isn't doing anything in Yates County. And if God isn't doing anything in Yates County, put it down that your preacher ain't going to get much done either, all right? We wait on God. And so, notice again, Sarah here said, I can find a solution to this. And she began to manipulate around, again, to accomplish the will of God in their lives. And then the third error that's in here is all contained in one short verse, verse 2. The first error, Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Second error is, I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And the third error, again, is the last phrase, and Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. In our Sunday night Bible study, we just got through teaching, again, very emphatically from God's Word, that women were not to be preaching, praying, or prophesying. The three P's, unallowed for women, okay? Preaching, praying, and prophesying. And four reasons for that. Number one is because Adam was formed first and then Eve. Number two was that Eve was deceived and Adam was not. Number three was, again, that women are made for mothering. They've got a different psyche. They've got a different emotion. They've got a different whole package. And that package is not made for leadership nor making leadership decisions. Let me say that again out loud one more time in case we didn't get it. That package that's built for mothering is not made for leading, okay? Leading in a home, leading in the church, nor leading in the nation. Let me say that again, all right? The package that is built for a woman is for mothering. And that's a different decision package than that comes with leading. And God said so. And the fourth reason again given is that a woman is to be under the headship of a man. That's God's rules, that's God's outline, and there it is. And so notice here that last sentence, and Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Whose responsibility was it here? After our lessons on the home. Whose responsibility was it to stand up and say, whoa, we're not going to do that? Yep. That was Abram's responsibility. Whose responsibility was it again? Now, I could understand everything that Sarah has said. I could understand her frustration. I could understand that she felt like she was the problem. I could understand again that she's going to present another solution. But right here, it's Abram's role. It's Abram's job to stand up and say, we're going to wait on the Lord. As for me and my house, we will wait upon the Lord again. And so Abram had a failure here because he did not follow God's direction. That he could have looked up in Genesis.
Amen.
Oh, no, he couldn't, right? He couldn't look that up. This is Abram, remember? Moses is the one who wrote down this account again, and that was, what, 400 years, 500 years later. In what year? Anybody remember the year that Moses wrote down all this? A failure on my teaching process. I was going to give you something that you could nail it down and you'd never forget it the rest of your life. And we forgot it. Moses wrote this down in 1492, okay? Someone asked, who was on the radio this week, someone asked, when did Columbus discover America? And they said, oh, let's see, I know that. It was like 1792. And I'm thinking, you're off a little bit. 1492, okay. That was B.C., and that's when God again revealed to Moses on a mountain called Sinai. He gave him the law and God began writing his word. And Moses again took the writings and Genesis was in there. And so that's when Moses wrote it all down as he got it from God. And again, that's in 1492. And then there was another great discovery in 1492, and that's when Columbus came across to America. And yet there was a third 1492, and that was when all the Spanish people kicked... all the Jews were banned. They either had to die or get out of the country from Spain. And so they all left, and where did they go? Jerusalem, okay? They went to Jerusalem, and that was the beginning of the regathering back into Jerusalem. 1492, good year to remember in our history lessons here. What was my point? Abram couldn't look at the Word of God and say, hey, this is the role of women, and again, the man is supposed... But Abram knew that. And Abram patterned that. And again, he knew that from God himself, and he knew that again from creation itself. And so, notice again that Abram here should have at that point said, that's interesting advice, but here's what we're going to do. Now, again, I want this understanding to be clear here. We're covering this on the home on Sunday nights when we're talking about that. That doesn't mean that the woman was wrong for suggesting it. Can I say that? That doesn't mean that the woman was wrong for feeling it. But again, a man here was in charge of discerning that, hey, no, that's the wrong direction to go. God has ordained that man is to be the head. A man is to, again, take that responsibility. And so even though all the suggestions sounded fine, sounded like, hey, this could work out, Abram had a responsibility saying to say of God. And notice again that God had given the promise already to Abram. We did kind of skipped over that in verse 15. But notice again that he said, and remember when Abram said, I've got a servant that was born in my house and he's going to be my heir. And God said to Abram, no, you misunderstand me here. The seed out of thy own bowel shall be thine heir. And so technically, okay, the solution that Sarai had come up with would meet that stringent requirement, right? And so she came up with a solution that was technically correct, but it was not God's will. And Abram had a responsibility to discern that. And listen, you and I, again, when we see things that are working in the world and we say, hey, maybe we should try that. Again, understand that the things that are working in the world are not man's ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not man's ways. And we have a responsibility to be careful to direct our steps in following hard after God and His commandments. In my Bible reading, I'm just finishing off the middle of Deuteronomy. I guess I'm in now. In reading Deuteronomy, it's a repetition of everything that Moses had taught them. And boy, it's amazing how clear it is. It says, God says to them, follow my commandments. Be of great courage and follow my commandments. Do what I say and there'll be blessing. And if you depart from my commandments, there's just going to be problem upon problem. And sometimes, again, in Christianity, we get the idea that if you've got to do it God's way, or else if you go off into God's way, out of God's way, He'll reach down with a thunderbolt and clap you a good one again. That's not God. God has given us a warning that there is a straight way. There is a narrow path. Stay on it. Because if you get off of it, there's nothing but thorns and briars and Satan. If you get off of it, again, there's destruction out there. And so God's heart is that you and I would stay on the straight path and the narrow way that He has outlined here, a way that leadeth unto righteousness, rather than getting off on the broad way and the wide road, again, that leadeth to destruction. And so notice that God, the destruction's already out there. The confusion and the mayhem in our society is because they have refused to follow God's path. And now, Lord help us. We're looking to the NFL to set our moral right and wrong again. And if their coach or their head or whoever the guy is doesn't set a right moral code for our country, then we're going to fire him. Did you know Rice, I forgot his name, I don't like his last name, but Rice, again, the guy that was accused of beating his girlfriend, he was charged to the full letter of the law. What did he get? Anybody remember? It's a misdemeanor. To beat your wife, again, is only a misdemeanor, okay? And so the full letter of the law was thrown at him. And the women's rights are attacking the football league. I mean, hello? Why don't they attack Georgia? Why don't they attack the laws of Georgia that said you can beat your wife and get off for just a misdemeanor? If you strangle your wife, that then is a misdemeanor that you can get 30 days for, okay? But it's a misdemeanor, okay? And so our society is bankrupt of morality. And it's bankrupt of common sense. And we have all the women, the National Women Association is at war with NFL because, again, they let the guy keep his job. He was only charged with a misdemeanor, for crying out loud. And so we hold up our football players as to be role models in our society. Our whole society has been brought to confusion. And it's disastrous out there. And that is the wide way and the broad path that leadeth to destruction. And don't look at me funny when I say all the churches in America are headed that way too. They're on a broad path, a wide way again. And we teach again about the doctrines of the straight path. But there's no churches or that I know of right around here in Yates County that say, hey, yeah, we're going to stick on that narrow path. Everyone's filled with a compromise. And so again, when we look at that, understand here that Abram had gone for a solution and said, yeah, this sounds feasible. Boy, be careful that you and I don't look at the world and say, yeah, that does sound feasible. Yeah, let's put in a rock band. Yeah, let's again put in a little more entertainment. Let's give the people what they want and see if we can't build a church that way. Except the Lord build the church. And so again, in that respect, again, I think we're all pretty here on solid ground and know what we're doing and know those decisions again. And we've seen the failures all around. But boy, there's a whole bunch of applications in our own life where all the rest of the world is doing it this way. And we could go ahead and do a little bit of that too. And get off of the clear path that God has for our lives. It looked attractive. It looked like a good solution. But notice again that all that was out that path for Abraham and Sarai was destruction and heartbreak and hurt. And boy, again, when they went down that path, there's no turning back. Whether they went down that path, and God kept His promise. And God was precious and His grace overflowed in their life. But there was a set of consequences laying around in their life that affects you and I even today. Again, with this strange, again, people that claim Abraham as their father and claim again that Allah is their God, but yet they're completely departed from the precepts of this book. And boy, here we are again, 3,000 years later, still bearing the consequences of this mistake right here. Because when we do something stupid, there's a plate of consequences getting out there. And boy, you and I, when we take stupid steps, when we again depart from a straight path that God has outlined for our homes, for our lives, for our witness, for our testimony, once again we've gone off onto a straight path, I wish that we could just fix it and God would erase all that. But He doesn't. There's plates of consequences right here in our own church, in our own families, in our own lives again. Plates of consequences that I wish they could be taken away and erased again and gone. But there's consequences that fall down on our children, on our grandchildren, on lives again that we can touch. And so again, understand that here, the solution seemed good, but it was not God's path. It was not God's way. And there was a responsibility on Abram to discern God's truth and God's path and God's right. They didn't took that. They didn't take that path. Abram didn't take that path. He again hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And the rest of the chapter is a heartbreak that goes on for generations. Father, how I praise You again and I thank You for Your word. Help us again to be sensitive to Your commandments, to Your judgments, to Your laws, to Your precepts, Father, that we could again say that we're going to follow them to the best of our ability. Pray that You'd be with the men here today and help us to be the leaders that we ought to be in decision making and the direction of our home and leading in prayer and leading in teaching and leading again and prophesying of Your word. And Father, may we again have a wisdom and a discerning from You in that leadership. Pray that You'd be with the ladies that are here today and help them again to recognize that they're a powerful help that's appropriate to the husband. But Father God, they are again not to be taken the leadership, even as was done here in our illustration. We'll praise You now and thank You, Father, for causing that we could have a wisdom from You in discerning Your truths. And walking in a day and age that has departed from Your truths, Lord, it's a lonely walk down here. And so we'd ask, Father, that You'd send some others our way. Ask again, Father, that we could see Good Samaritan Baptist Church grow as a witness for You. And Father, that we could even in this year remaining, Father, see some souls change and some lives born again, Father, to walk a new path in You. And Father, that we could see some enlivened blood come under the blood of Your only begotten Son, even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We'll praise You again for Your ability to touch this work. But Father, we want to tell You that no matter what, we want again to be faithful, to stick close by Your side, to lift up Your Son's name, and to recognize all that we have and all that we are is because of your only begotten Son, our Savior, our Lord, our King. We worship Him today. We exalt His name and ask again that You'd receive our worship, receive our determination, and touch us with Your grace and mercy. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and grab a songbook. Let's have a hymn of invitation. Somewhere in here is "All to Jesus I Surrender." I think that'd be a good song to sing. "I Surrender All," is that what it is? 308 in our songbook. Let's stand, and as we have our invitation, perhaps there's something God's tugged on your heart about. Remember again, our journey of faith begins by that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the beginning of our journey. But boy, again, as we walk again to be a friend of God, it takes what we're going to sing in 308 in our invitation. "All to Jesus I Surrender." All to Jesus.